Let's read from Acts chapter 3. We had that story, that conversation between Humphrey and Stuart earlier. It's just very interesting. Let's read about that passage where that story happened. It's Acts chapter 3, page 1094 of the Church Bibles. I will read that incident and then I'll read on as well. So, just remember when this was. Jesus had been taken, he'd been killed, put to death, and then wonderfully raised to life again. We looked at that last week, Easter Day, of course. And then he'd spent time with the disciples for 40 days with the disciples, and then he left them. And then there was about a week before the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And this is what happened after that. We looked at a few verses from chapter 2 last week. This is chapter 3 of Acts. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting them to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." Well, it's an amazing story, isn't it? Amazing. Imagine to being there and seeing that man walking and leaping and praising God. Amazing. You'd have thought that doing something so amazing as making a lame man walk would bring Peter and John nothing but fame and acclaim. You'd think they'd be celebrities. But actually, what it brought them was trouble. They got into trouble. It's true that everyone was astonished, and Peter explained to the crowd that it wasn't their own power that did this. It was the power of Jesus, as he said there, as we just read. It is through in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. This is the man that they'd seen been put to death, that they put to death, Jesus. He is the one that made this man walk, because he is the author of life. He is the author of life, but they'd killed him. That's what Peter says. You killed the author of life. The author of life. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? You know what an author is, don't you? An author is someone who writes a book, isn't it? Someone who thinks, "Oh, I've got a good idea for a book." And they imagine the story. And they imagine the characters. And they write it all down. They make it real on the page, as it were. They write a story. They write a book. I'm sure you've all written stories, haven't you, at some point? You've been the author of something. Well, Jesus, it says, is the author of life. You see, the Bible says in the beginning, God said, God made the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be. All those things, light and the seas and the oceans and the dry land and the trees and all the vegetation and the animals and so on, and not forgetting the sun, moon and stars and all the rest of it. The word, the world was spoken into existence. It was like God was imagining it all in his head, and he spoke it out and made it happen, just like an author writes a book. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? But the Bible calls Jesus the Word of God because Jesus was there with his Father right at the beginning, involved in that creation. Jesus is the author of life. He imagined it all in the first place. He wrote it. He spoke it into existence. He is the creative mind behind the universe. Like in the story that we had, the good artist, the artist who drew it all. That's like Jesus. That means that he is the one who knows exactly what life's about and how it works best. Because, you know, imagine you get something for your birthday. You get a nice new phone, or you get a tablet, an iPad or something like that. And it's very exciting and you want to start playing with it straight away. But your mum or your dad says, well, hold on. Let's read the instruction book first. And you go, oh. But that's wise, isn't it? It's wise to pick up the instruction book and read it and find out exactly how you're supposed to get it going, how you set it up. Because if you get it wrong at the start, you might spoil it. Because the person who made that gadget knows best how it works. Well, it's the same with the world. Who knows better how the world works than the person who made it all? Who knows better how our lives work than the person who made us? So, if we're wise, then we need to listen to what God says. God made us, we should listen to him. But Peter says, you killed the author of life. The religious leaders who'd put Jesus to death, they were killing the source of all life. Now, Peter said, you killed Jesus, but you know, there's a sense in which the whole of the human race is included in that accusation. Because, you know, we're all like that, actually. We all try to do the same thing. Human beings, we hate being told what to do. We even hate being told what to do by God, who's the person who knows best how we should do things. But we hate that. So we ignore him, if we possibly can. Well, the Bible says that's like killing the author of life, because when we ignore God and shut him out of our lives, we end up spoiling the life he's given us. It was great to have Humphrey with us today, wasn't it? I've never actually seen him in the flesh. I've heard lots about him. I've never seen him for real before. Amazing. I think I'm going to ask him for his hoof print afterwards. It's great to have Humphrey, but he was talking about WaterAid. So WaterAid is all about helping people all throughout the world to have a pure and clean source of water. Because if you don't have pure, clean water, you're not going to do well, are you? You're not going to thrive. You're going to get ill, sick. If you don't have any water at all, you'll die. Imagine that you're living by a stream that rises from a spring in the hillside, and it trickles down, and the stream gets bigger and bigger and bigger as you go downstream. And then imagine in one place in particular, it gathers to produce a wonderful swimming hole where you can spend your summer day, all those hot, balmy summer days that we have endlessly in England. I imagine that everyone in the area would go to the swimming hole and play in the water, and it's great. It's wonderful. But imagine that you went up further upstream to nearer where the spring was, and you think, well, this field's a bit muddy, isn't it? This field's not much good because it's too muddy. So I don't want it so muddy. I want it dry so I can do things. I can build on this field and I can make things on this field. And then you thought, well, hold on. What if I just... There's this trickle of water coming down. What if I stop up that water from where it's coming out of the hill? What if I stop it coming out of the hillside? Then the field will dry. And imagine you did that. And the field did dry. And you think, yeah, it's great, it's worked. But But what would be happening further downstream? That swimming hole, well, it would empty, wouldn't it? But if maybe you thought, well, I'll dam up the swimming hole, so we've still got the swimming hole, so we've stopped the water flowing out. What would happen? As everyone was diving in and having a great time, all those long summer days, all those dirty bodies in that water just standing there, day after day after day, with the bugs and all the rest of it, getting stagnant and filthy. Ugh. Can you imagine? It would just be foul, wouldn't it? You wouldn't want to swim in it. Well, you know, that's like us in our lives. We don't want God telling us what to do. We want to ignore the source of life. That's like the water, the spring coming out, the water coming out of the spring. So we want to shut that off so that we can do what we like with our lives. But that means that our lives, instead of being like a lovely stream and a beautiful swimming hole and all the rest of it, they become filthy and dirty and muddy and full of stagnant water. They don't bring life. They bring death. Because we have tried to kill the author of life. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? But that's true. You killed the author of life, said Peter. You did your best to spoil life itself. But, there is a wonderful but in this verse, isn't there? A wonderful but. But God raised him from the dead. The author of life could not stay dead. God raised him up. There are two reasons for that. Well, all sorts of reasons, but I'll mention two. Firstly, because by dying on the cross like Jesus did, he dealt with the thing that causes death. He dealt with our sin. It's like he removed the blockage from the spring and enabled fresh water to flow into the world again. But secondly, God, the author of life, is more powerful even than the power of death. And he has determined that death will not have the last word. His life will flow out and bring life to the world around. It will triumph. It will conquer. And that's what the resurrection of Jesus shows us. That God has done this. That God's life is flowing into the world still through the risen Lord Jesus. And what does that bring? Well, he tells us what it brings. Verse 16. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to this man, as you can all see. What does that bring? It brings complete healing. The life, the risen, the resurrected life of Jesus Christ brings complete healing in all sorts of wonderful ways. The story of this lame man, it's like a picture. It's a sign of how Jesus, having died, having been raised, having poured out the Holy Spirit, is now able to bring life and complete healing. That's an amazing thing. Now, Peter means, when he talks about complete healing, he means this man who couldn't walk now can walk. That's the resurrection of power of Jesus that did that. But it didn't mean that that man never had anything wrong with him ever again. When we become Christians, we are not promised that we won't have anything ever wrong with us ever again. Doesn't work like that. Because that man, he would get sick again. You know, I don't think he's alive today. He would have died at some point. But here's the thing. It's still complete healing. Because there's a promise. There's a promise in the Bible that that sign of the healing that Jesus can bring, that one day that healing will be complete. Because just as Jesus was raised up from the dead, so everyone who trusts in him will be raised up with glorious new bodies, completely healed, completely made well in every sort of way. Because this is the thing, the creator of the world has started to recreate a new world. It started now. When Jesus was raised up from the dead, it's like that author started to draw the world again. And now it goes on, and it goes on into eternity. And the day when Jesus returns, there will be complete healing for all who trust in Jesus. He will raise us up. If we're dead, We'll be given glorious new resurrection bodies and raised up. If we're still alive when Jesus comes back, we will be transformed. We will be changed. And there will be no disease and no mourning and no death and nothing to spoil this wonderful life. Complete healing. That's the promise. You know, I love that story, The Good Artist. I love it absolutely, apart from just one little thing. And I don't know whether any of the grown-ups picked up on this. I love it, but I don't like the way it ends. I think it misses a trick. It's true that when we die, God takes us out of this world to be with him. Absolutely. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because what happens is that one day God will redraw the world, this world, completely new and completely free of all the things we've spoiled in it with our sin. He will redraw it wonderfully with everything that we enjoy, only better. And he will put those who trust in him, not up there floating around on a cloud somewhere. He will put us right there in this new redrawn world. Recreate it. That's our future. And he will be there with us. And it will be glorious. Oh yes, I had some pictures there. It will be glorious. We can spend eternity walking with God and leaping with God and praising God, because that's what he's made us for. But we don't have to wait, do we? We don't have to wait till then to start walking with him and leaping with him and praising with him. Because the moment Jesus was raised from the dead, the author of life started redrawing his creation. He starts with us when we have put our trust in him, when we are drawn again, it said, isn't it? That's supposed to be make you think of being born again. You know, that's what the Bible talks about, being born again. When we put our trust in Jesus, we are reborn. And so just like this man, we begin to enjoy some of that healing. And that refreshing new water of life begins to flow into us the moment we put our trust in Jesus. And the closer we follow him, the more we enjoy the life he has to give us. And it has to come from him. Like Humphrey in the marathon, you know, when he's running along, his sheikh, his master, has to go to the refreshment stores and pick up the water and bring it back for Humphrey to drink. Must be quite a sight, mustn't it? But we rely on our master, Jesus, to bring us water as we walk the Christian life, as we run the marathon of the Christian life with him. He refreshes us day by day, leading us on to the time when he'll make everything new. That's the resurrection hope that we have. That all flows out from the reality that although we killed the author of life, God raised him from the dead. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the reality of Jesus' resurrection, that he is alive. Help us to understand it fully. Help us to put our trust in him. Help us to understand that his life is the best life. And help us in our struggles, Lord, in the times when we're aware that we need healing and when we don't feel we're being healed in the ways we'd want to see. Help us to trust him. Help us to pray. Help us to expect him to work in all kinds of ways in our lives to bring about his life for us and for other people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.